Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Noam from ACCHoops.com, the BuzzBeat podcast as well. The great Brian Geisinger joins us on the Technicom hotline. Brian, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
I have no idea. It's a football Friday, but we got games being rescheduled in college basketball already. I'm just curious, my guy. North Carolina and Kentucky. How do these two teams match up now that we have to get used to that instead of UNC and UCLA?
Yeah, and I just got done. I actually did a bunch of like a deep dive on UCLA this week too. But it's one of those things. Like, I'm with you too, man. Like, I don't know how things are. Things are obviously not particularly good at the moment right now, but we're just in this weird sort of limbo, place location right now. And as you two guys that make their living talking or writing about sports, it's just such a weird, entry into all of this. But, Kentucky's good. I've seen them play, I think, two or three times this season, Duke and Notre Dame specifically. They haven't played in about a week since they lost basically at the buzzer up in South Bend. I don't think this is like a typical Kentucky team when you think of kind of what they've been the last decade with a lot of like five-star one-and-done talent. They have one very good freshman guard, Ty Washington, that's a real player. And then some of their other perimeter guys are transfers, like Davion Mintz from Creighton, Kellen Grady from Davidson, Xavier Wheeler from Georgia, and then their big guy in the middle, Oscar Tshiebwe, from West Virginia. So it's more of a transfer collection of talent, but like they're good. They're strong on both sides of the court. They're the best offensive rebounding team in the country with Tshiebwe. But North Carolina is a phenomenal defensive rebounding team. So, that's perhaps like a key little battleground area is, can UNC's front court guys keep Tshiebwe off the offensive glass? These are two good offenses. These are two of the top 20 offenses in the country. And, I don't know how much you've seen of UNC or whatever so far this year, but they're playing like a different style of basketball. North Carolina's not going to stray too far from the secondary break and high-low and playing with two big guys on the court. But because of Brady Manick and Dawson Garcia up front, UNC can get more shooting on the court, a little more skill, open up the half-court offense. And the double point guard lineup of Caleb Love and RJ Davis has been pretty dynamic so far this year for UNC. And I really think outside of the Tennessee game, which is one of the top 10 teams in the country, UNC, despite some blips here and there, has actually played pretty well so far this year.
Brian, moving outside this weekend's matchup, UNC and Kentucky, tomorrow in Las Vegas, just big picture here, early temperature check, if you will. Who's been the better team so far, Duke or UNC?
I think Duke so far. I mean, the win over Gonzaga is really impressive. That was one of the best games, if not the best game so far this year. Kentucky was a nice little feather in their cap as well. But with Duke, you've got a team that is top 10 in offense nationally, if not borderline top 5. They've been borderline top 20, top 15 in defense too. And like UNC just isn't on that level defensively on that side of the court. Like that's really where Duke has a leg up as a better defensive team with probably a little bit more like versatility, like not as deep as UNC, but maybe a little bit more versatility. And just the high-end talent of Duke's roster is pretty remarkable, especially if they can get, these kinds of contributions from A.J. Griffin, who is one of the best, most talented players in the ACC, but has been injured for the last two seasons before getting to Duke. But the last two games, he's played 40 minutes and, 40 combined minutes and 30 combined points over the wins over South Carolina State and App State. So maybe he's coming on, giving Duke yet one more, big-time talented piece. So I would say Duke, But UNC, I think, has been pretty good, too. I thought I was pretty bullish on UNC coming into the season, but I think even the offense has been better than I expected if the defense is maybe a little bit underneath where you might like it to be in Chapel Hill right now.
Brian Geisinger, ACCHoops.com, and co-host of the BuzzBeat podcast here with Nick Wilson on the Technicom hotline, getting you ready for another great weekend in the ACC. In a game last night, you mentioned Duke and their success here. A lot of that's coming off Paolo Banchero, the freshman superstar. We saw App State, of all teams, get a little bit more physical with him. Is that increased physicality, is that going to be the next step for teams trying to slow down Paolo Banchero?
Yeah, it is interesting because the last two games, he really hasn't played great since Gonzaga. I know the numbers were pretty shiny in the South Carolina State game, but I was at that game and he was not like amazing, you know, not sort of like the high end kind of play that you could expect from him. I know he still had 12 points, 6 assists and, you know, a bunch of steals. So, he's awesome. He's insanely good at basketball. But I do think these last two games against App and South Carolina State, these are two teams that shouldn't have they shouldn't get anywhere close to touching him. Do you know what I mean? He's too good to be held down by even App, which is a quality team and a quality program. But, like, this guy's in contention for the number one pick. He's really good. But you got to remember with Banchero, he's not like a nuclear athlete. So even though he draws a ton of contact and he's got a lot of skill around the basket, he's not Zion, and he's not even someone I think he's a better prospect than Marvin Bagley a couple of years ago, but Bagley with his length to be able to just go over the top of people. And I'm not sure if Banchero has quite that. His skill is so good. And he is a very good, like, mid-range shooter, but I do think teams can encourage him to take those kinds of looks, which aren't super efficient. And so I think he has a tendency sometimes to let opponents off the hook by settling for mid-range shots. And, yeah, I get the notion of trying to be physical with Banchero. So anyway, look, he's been phenomenal so far this season. I mean, through, 10, 11 games. But, it is interesting that he's had even going back to Ohio State, a couple games the last few weeks that have been, I think, sort of below the standard. And in terms of draft prospects this year, he kind of is the gold standard. So I'm sure he'll start playing better. But, yeah, I do think there is a bit of a formula for Banchero. If he gets it in post, it's indeed being very physical with him. He's a great free throw shooter. But also, when he catches it further away, try to keep him out of the lane and get him to settle for mid-range jump shots. Again, he's going to make his fair share of those looks, but that's better than him, getting downhill, getting layups, and also getting to the free throw line.
Believe it or not, Brian, I've also been called a nuclear athlete before in my time here. Looking over to the Hornets real quick here, my guy. There's so many different things to talk about with this team, but looking just at the guys who played as half the rotation has been out here, who are the odd men out in the Hornets rotation when they're at full health?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you could already see it in the win in San Antonio, like JT Thor, with Jalen McDaniels back, like JT Thor pretty much, out of the rotation after doing a nice job for a couple of games. And I think Charlotte can still feel good about that. Like, Thor seems like ahead of schedule. And I liked him as a prospect, to be clear, but I was impressed with JT in some moments when he was in the rotation, but seems like he's out. And then certainly James Booknight too. Like, once LaMelo gets back, I think the rotation is going to look like it did through most of, October and November. You kind of know who they're going to play if they've got Plumlee back, if they've got McDaniels, if they've got LaMelo. Now Terry's back too. So, yeah, I think the rookies are really the ones that you're going to see sort of drop from the rotation a little bit. But some good moments for those guys, and I think they helped, the Hornets win a game or two. When Charlotte really needed it, when so many of their good players were in the league's safety and health protocol. So yeoman's effort from those guys. But yeah, unfortunately, it does seem like they're going to get pushed, to the deep back end of the rotation or just fully out of the rotation, unless they're getting needs upon later in the year.